Well, all right then. Wednesday, 5 p.m. American Hit Radio, about to happen for the next hour between 5 and 6 p.m. I hope you have some time to spend with us, and I want to thank you for tuning in. My name is Tom Ryan, my lovely wife and co-host, as I say pretty much every single time I step in front of a microphone. Heidi Morales Ryan is here
you
with us, of course.
You forgot who I am.
Humana, humana, humana. Oh,
I
we've
know,
been doing this for
so
too long.
Mrs. Ryan's, it's hard for you to remember.
Well, what we have both been doing, Heidi and I, for decades now, is trying to save albums. It's a worthy cause because albums have done so much for us over the past 100 years, thereabouts anyway. I guess it's, is it not? Well, okay, but I can't say quite 100 years because albums really only, they became, we started this in 1955 with the series because that's when albums really started to matter. So we could say 75 years easily. And that's like, what we've been covering, that time period where so much has happened and so much music has been just given to us by some fantastic artists. And a lot of it is like, I don't know, dissipated because of the digital age. Albums don't really seem to be what they used to be. Just the tangible thing is great, but I don't necessarily mean just the vinyl thing. I mean just the fact that there's a collection of songs that an artist puts together that they would want you to hear. I think of an artist like Bob Dylan, who I am obsessed with, who has made quite a few albums, and every one of them is significantly different. And if you listen to Bob Dylan as a songster or a person who just writes songs, it's not the same thing as thinking of Bob Dylan as the person who put together an album, because there's a big difference from what Bob Dylan does from one album to another. Yeah, he changes quite a bit, and I think that there's a lot to learn from that. So that's what we've been trying to do, is more or less do a historical timeline. And we started, as I said, in 1955. We're working our way up to the present, and we've picked 1,000 albums, which are our personal favorites. Because there's no such thing as a guaranteed best of all time sort of a list. Everybody's got their own personal favorites, of course. So we picked 500 albums that were big hits, top 40 hits, and we picked another 500 that were not top 40 hits, just to keep us honest and to show that we didn't have to be populist, if you put it like that. So half of our list are albums that are not well known, or at least weren't on the top 40. Maybe some of them have become well-known. And today is one of those albums, one of the albums that probably remains relatively unknown. We are up to June of 1976, so this is the 50th anniversary for this album, now that it is unbelievably 2026, as I sit here and speak to you. The album, as I said, was released in June of 1976, and it did not chart at all. So it was a bit of a sleeper. It's got an unpronounceable band name, which was also the title of the album. It's the album title, and the band name is Wild Chapatulas. And it's on our alternative top 40 list. It's number 215. So we're getting near the halfway point out of 500 on this list. Now, Chapatulas, the name comes from New Orleans. And if you've been to New Orleans, you might know it, Bob, because it's the name of a very popular street. Chapatulas Street is a street that runs parallel to the Mississippi River. It has a lot of very popular nightclubs on it. And if you're going to go to see some live music, you'd probably know what Chapatulas Street is. You might not pronounce it properly for a couple of times, but after a while, you get used to it. But Chapatulas as a street took its name from an Indian tribe that was settled in the New Orleans area before it got settled proper or not proper by Americans. Now, none of this meant anything to me up in where I lived up here in New York. I mean, I heard Wild Chapatulas, the album, for the first time around 1978, 1979. And my introduction to the album was pretty strange, which is only fitting for a white boy from suburban New York. Like, where I grew up, culture meant playing Danny Boy on St. Patty's Day. I mean, quite honestly, I cannot think of a single cultural tradition beyond Thanksgiving that I shared with my neighbors.
Boo.
I mean, on holidays, we had parades, but they were astoundingly boring. Right, really. And nobody cared much. Living in a land of strip malls populated by third and fourth generation Europeans, there was literally nothing in my youthful experience that could be called indigenous. In the late 70s, though, I turned 20 and my natural curiosity abounded. Punk music and the culture that surrounded it started to leak out to the suburbs, and I absorbed it with gusto. Now, punk culture has absolutely nothing in common with Mardi Gras Indians. But in our cloistered world, there were many things that were just inexplicable. For example, a huge part of punk music drew heavily from Jamaican culture. And I quickly found myself enamored with a lot of that music. The Clash, for example, relied heavily on Jamaican dub styles. And punk palaces like the Mud Club would play nothing but Jamaican music between live acts. So it seemed natural when I found myself rummaging through record bins for Jamaican reggae and dub music. I discovered dub music because of the fact that punk turned me onto it and exposed it to me. Now, a friend of mine had a nice collection of obscure reggae, and he lent it to me so that I could record some of it. This is when you would have cassette players and you'd borrow somebody else's singles and make, you know, collections of their singles onto your cassette tapes. Now, in the middle of his pile was Wild Chapatulas. Apparently, he couldn't quite make sense of the album's derivation either, and presumed that it might somehow be related to reggae. But this had nothing in common with U-Roy or Joe Gibbs or Junior Mervin. Despite my inability to discern the album's roots, I fell in love with it, and I virtually memorized it, nonsense syllables and syllabics and all. For all I knew, it came from Jupiter, but I loved it anyway. Soon after, though, I became more and more aware of New Orleans and its incredible cultural mix. I developed a genuine fascination for the place because it was the exact opposite of my own experience thus far. New Orleans is, almost certainly the most culturally diverse place on earth, and the mashups of French, Creole, Spanish, African, American Indian, Caribbean, etc., led to complexities that could barely be imagined. Some traditions were so entrenched that even those in the midst of it could not untangle the variety of influences, or even the linguistic root for phrases like Giacomo Finane. You could ask the average New Orleanian what that means, and they would shake their head. They have no idea. It comes from somewhere. It's one of those cultural influences. Maybe Heidi says, you know, probably African. Now, Wild Chapatulas represented a cultural mashup better than anything else I ever heard. And yet, it is pure in its New Orleans heritage. African Americans embrace the Mardi Gras holiday by dressing as American Indians and chanting in a language that can probably be partially traced to Africa, as Heidi said, with Creole and Haitian influences. Since it had always been a verbal tradition, pronunciations and spelling changed over centuries. While meanings became scrambled or forgotten, the phraseology did not, and it became a means of identity for African-American Mardi Gras Indians. When the Dixie Cups sang Iko Iko, remember that hit single from the 60s? And it became a hit. Most people outside of New Orleans presumed it to be a schoolyard chant, but it was much, much more. The entire parade culture of big chiefs, Indians, spy boys, flag boys, is all too much for mainstream America to comprehend, which explains why this record is so misunderstood outside of Louisiana. Wild Chapultepec was an Indian tribe started by a man named George Landry, who was the chief of his tribe. So he was Big Chief George Landry in the 1970s, and they took their name from an indigenous American Indian tribe. Landy's tribe included members of the Meters, so the idea of recording Mardi Gras Indian chants must have seemed quite natural at the time. Art Neville played keyboards with the band, and since the record was meant to convey a familial celebratory spirit, he asked his three brothers to join in on the project, making this a debut album of sorts for the Neville brothers. Legendary producer and songwriter Alan Toussaint produced the album with Marshall Seahorn, another legendary New Orleans songman, making this one of the most deeply profound New Orleans musical projects imaginable. It comes off as a complete mystery to outsiders, but regardless of where you're from, it is impossible to shrug off the incantational power of the call-and-response chants performed over syncopation that incorporates second-line rhythms, which is yet another strictly New Orleanian cultural phenomenon of celebratory funeral music. Indian tribes would work on stunningly ornate costumes and rehearse their chants all year long, building up to the climactic excitement of Mardi Gras, when they would march and sing their chants along secret parade routes, expecting to encounter clashes with other tribes. All of this was completely foreign to me, but I love it now with the passion so deep that it feels like a part of me. Most likely, this is completely outside your own realm of experience, but once you let this fascinating amalgamation of cultures get under your skin, it won't be long before its music is in your blood. Here's a taste of it now. This is a song written by one of the Neville brothers, Cyril Neville, and it opens up the album. The song is Brother John.
And if you don't like what the big chief said, you just shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. And if you don't like what the big chief said, you just shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. Shock and move me down here. If you don't like what the big chief said, you just shock and move me down here. And my brother, brother John is gone. Hey now, brother John is gone. Well, I remember the morning, remember it well. Brother John is gone. Well, I remember the morning, my brother John. Brother John is gone.
This is probably the first time that people were hearing the Neville Brothers. They weren't a band yet at this point in time. Rather incredible. It's hard to believe, right? It's amazing. That song became huge. I mean, that song is one of those popular songs in the city of New Orleans right now. Now, the next song was the single. I've actually seen it as a 45, which I think is incredible. And it's called Meet Du Bois on the Battlefront, which I believe, again, is a reference to Mardi Gras Indians on Mardi Gras Day, where, Heidi, you can maybe explain this a little bit better than I could. It might help.
Well, I think they're referring to like the spy boys and all that culture where you would send lookouts for the competing rival groups of Mardi Gras Indians.
Yeah, well, you'd get like different, like, because they would each have their own, what would you call it? The way that they would like.
Yeah, well, they're moving in from their own neighborhoods known as wards. And
they'd have to, and they'd have
and
literally
have to meet at the neutral ground.
Yeah, the neutral ground is the middle of the street.
Which is
median. Which is a funny word for it, because if you cross the neutral ground, now you're on the wrong side. So it could cause trouble. But that's why they had spy boys and all that sort of stuff. But and that would be the battlefront, so to speak. But it wasn't really war so much. Most of the time it was just great fun. But here's Meet Du Bois on the Battlefront.
Judah gonna stomp some rump.
Prettiest little thing that I ever see. Mardi Gras Indian down in New Orleans. Sold all night and he sold all day. Mardi Gras morning went all the way.
Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Running wild, Trapper Judah gonna stomp some rump.
Indians coming from all over town. Big Chief singing, gonna take them down. Jockey Mofito, hey la hey. Indians are rulers on the holiday.
Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. 41 Jabba Tula gonna stomp some rump.
The Mardi Gras morning won't be long. Play Indian, gonna carry on. Baskets running up and down the avenue. Here come the Indians, let them through.
Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. 41 Chopper Tula gonna stomp some rock.
From an Indian ruler from the 13th hall. From an eagle drank panther blood.
Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. 41 Chopper Tula gonna stomp some rump.
Got an itty bitty spy, got a motor steel. Shank won't get you his hatchet bill. Katie may have to me who not know. He shoot the gun in the jailhouse door.
Boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys on the battlefront. 41 Chopper Tula gonna stomp some rump.
I'll bring my gang all over town. Drink my water till the sun go down. We get back home, we gonna kneel and pray. We had some fun on the holiday.
Meet the boys on the battlefront. Meet the boys.
One thing that's worth noting is how important New Orleans was and how influential New Orleans was as far as influencing the culture of the Caribbean, because AM radio can have a very long reach, and New Orleans was sitting right there on the edge of the water where the Caribbean began. So the radio, that the songs that were coming out of New Orleans could be heard in various parts of the Caribbean. So it was being picked up, and eventually it would even get as far as Trinidad, which seems to me almost impossible because that's just, you know, slightly a little bit off of South America. But there was that sort of back and forth. It was actually coming from Trinidad all the way up to New Orleans, where there was a back and forth. And you can hear it on that song. Like that song that we just heard comes from a Trinidadian culture song. And I want you to hear it because it was originally released by a guy named Lord Invader, wrote a song called Rum and Coca-Cola. And the song you just heard is based on the song that was written by Lord Invader. Let's play a little bit of it so you can hear the connection.
Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present to you that distinguished celebrity who goes by the appellation of the Lord Invader from and Coca-Cola fame. And the Lord Invader is coming to sing you that song which had the world upset, Rum and Coca-Cola, in the way it was intended to be sung. The Lord Invader, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, when the Yankees first came to Trinidad, some of the young girls are more than glad. They said that the Yankees treat them nice, and they give them a better price. They buy rum and Coca-Cola, more than a point for mana, both mothers and daughters, working for the Yankees.
Just a taste. You obviously get the feel for it. Now, that song eventually became popularized, of all people, by the Andrews Sisters. I want to hear a bit, just a taste of that. You may as well, but just to see how this thing eventually developed. And this is before Wild Chapatoulas recorded their version of Meet the Boys on the Battlefront, of course.
If you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar. There
you have it, the basic same melody, same structure, chord structure and everything for Rum and Coca-Cola and Meet the Boys on the Battlefront. Okay, let's play two tracks back to back, just so I don't run out of time, because I could talk about this record more than play the music because I get excited by it. Next track up is called Here They Come, and we'll let that segue into one of the most popular New Orleans songs of all time, written by Art Neville, Ziggy Modeleste, Leo Nocentelli and George Porter. And is it time already for me to do a legal ID? Oh, I may as well. Okay. WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City is the station.
Grandma, we're gonna do our thing.
In Georgia,
reavers and these low-down pills. Old Jack wouldn't have slipped down the mud as hell. Now the only thing that's gonna make them mad. See, I got the gang they wish they had.
Hey, 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 hey.
An early version of Hey Pocky Way, a track that the Neville Brothers would record on one of their albums in a more, I guess, in a more like of a rock beat sort of, still highly syncopated regardless. It's always very syncopated if it's a New Orleans band that's doing it. So we're playing an album called Wild Chopper Tulis, basically Mardi Gras Indian album that goes back to 1976. The whole idea of the Mardi Gras Indians goes back about 100 years to where we are now, as far as I know. I don't know if there's a history that goes further than that. I'm not really sure. The whole New Orleans culture is amazing and remarkable, and it's not like anything that you can really relate to unless you get there and you get immersed in it. And, I mean, Heidi could tell you because she grew up there. But the thing is like you have to understand that it's like... Most of the time when you have like a culture like what we would have here in New York, it tends to be, well, you know, there's a lot of separation. And in New Orleans, it was like that, but it started to mix. I mean, you had French and Irish and Spanish mixing together, which we have up here too, that sort of a thing. But they also had a more of a freedom between what was happening with black and white. At the turn of the 20th century, it was sort of weird. They would actually like recognize how much black blood you had in you. They actually called people octoroons or quadroons and things like that, which was a bit odd. But mulattoes and all of that. But it all eventually like evened out, and this is where the Native American part, I think, began to get worshipped so much because the blending made that seem to be so pure, something that was like unique unto itself. And the Caribbean element also was a part of that. Now, this next song is called Indian Red, and I think it's one of the oldest of all the Mardi Gras songs. It's a song that would be like the greeting or the chant that they would use when the Mardi Gras Indians would meet up, and they would sing this when they would meet. I think the song dates back about 100 years or so. And it's one of those things that basically says, you know, hey, we are a culture. We are united. That's how I pick up on it. Yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing. It's called Indian Red.
Mare Kurifayo. Yale. Mare kurifayo, yale, yale. We are Indian, Indian. We the Indians of the nation, the wild, wild creation.
Ohio. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mighty cootie fire. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I got a spy ball. Fire. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got a flag boy. Flag boy. Flag boy of the nation.
Yeah.
There you go. That's pretty much the root for the idea of the Indians and sort of the
perfect timing for this, because it is the beginning of the Mardi Gras season with, you know, Little Christmas, the Epiphany.
Yeah, this is right when it hits, right?
Yes. That's so officially the beginning. Everybody's on the search for a king cake.
That's a good idea. Everybody should be buying their king cakes right now. The king cake is, by the way, it's just a regular cake with the colors of New Orleans on it, except, huh?
It's not really a regular cake. It's more of a sweet bread, similar to like challah, but sweeter with like an icing on it. Sometimes they put fillings in it. Always has a little baby inside, which represents the little baby Jesus.
That's what makes a difference. You got it. And whoever gets the baby, that's like that. Well,
you have to buy the next king cake when you get the baby.
Oh, you're so lucky. You got the baby, but now you got to buy another king cake. I didn't also want to set it up like in a way, making it sound like everything is just so wonderful and beautiful and everybody loves each other in New Orleans. Because, I mean, most of the time, I mean, if you were down there, you would know right away, judging by the, you know, if you go to like the fact that there are different wards and the you know, the neighborhoods are broken up. But there's, if you come down there at New Orleans, come down to New Orleans at around Mardi Gras time, it's amazing how much the city does come together. And even some of the most famous restaurants that have been around for 125 years, like on Antoine's or Arnaud's, or if you go to those restaurants, they have museums of Mardi Gras history that go back to 100 years. All the costumes and all the things that they had set up for their floats and everything that go back. So it's all pretty remarkable. And I just, you know, for what it's worth, I mean, white culture got into it just as much as the native black culture did, just in different ways. But they really came together a lot from my perspective at Mardi Gras time. Everybody seemed to basically find a sense of peace, love, and understanding for what that was all about. All right, here's one of my favorite songs on the record. It's called "Big Chief Got a Golden Crown."
Hey, way back to it, my big chief got a golden crown. Hey, way back to it, my big chief got a golden crown.
Got a golden crown, a golden crown.
Big chief got a golden crown.
Got a golden crown, make it drag it round.
Big chief got a golden crown.
I'ma get that ruler from way uptown.
Big chief got a golden crown.
Watch out, but you live no more near town.
Big chief got a golden crown.
I'ma bring my gang, my Leon team.
Big chief got a golden crown.
I'ma meet them boys on the Melbourne Bay.
Big chief got a golden crown.
My spy won't run in my flag won't need.
Big chief got a golden crown.
But I'm the big chief, got a heart of steel.
Big chief got a golden crown.
Hey,
Chewy Pocky Way, my big chief got a golden crown.
Say hey,
Chewy Pocky Way, my big chief got a golden crown.
Say Mardi Gras morning when the sun come up,
my big chief got a golden crown.
We drink fire water from a silver cup.
Big chief got a golden crown.
I'm the big chief with the golden crown.
Big chief got a golden crown.
I'ma take him down.
Big chief got a golden crown.
I'ma bring my gang all over town.
Big chief got a golden crown.
Don't nobody follow nobody.
Rocky Way.
My big G gotta go to ground.
Hey, Rocky Way, my big G gotta go to ground.
Big Eddie, me hako, me unane.
Big G gotta go to ground.
We gonna have some fun on the holiday.
Big G gotta go to ground.
When I paint my face, that engine rain.
Big G gotta go to ground.
I don't want nobody with a feather in his head.
Big G gotta go to ground.
Don't you touch my bag, don't hurt my queen.
Big G gotta go to ground.
Or you have more trouble than you ever seen.
Big G gotta go to ground.
Don't nobody run, nobody bow.
Big G gotta go to ground.
But we watch out for jewelers, we don't know how.
Big G gotta go to ground.
Say, hey, do it, Pocky, wait.
My Big G gotta go to ground.
I say, hey, do it, Pocky, wait.
My Big G gotta go to ground.
And I go not crown, go to ground.
Big G gotta go to ground.
Big blood silver when I want you down.
Big G gotta go to ground.
Don't nobody run, no nobody need.
Big G gotta go to
ground.
All right, everybody, if we're getting feeling bad about the fact that holiday season is over, holiday season's just beginning. Happy Mardi Gras season, everybody, and hope you can tune and join us on Friday at 5, and we'll be back next Wednesday, too. It'll still be Mardi Gras season then, too, so see you then. Take care.
On the Magnolia Bridge, good Mardi Gras morning. Here come a gang from the Metro Ridge, struck without no warning. Talk about hey, hey. Morning on Mardi Gras Day,
police blew his whistle.
Yet come a jeep from the other way with the big long shiny pistol. Talk about
hey, 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 hey,
bloodshed
Kahuna, hey, hey,
shoot Kuna Kuna, make a
jockey move into Hondo
in the morning.
Jockey move into Hondo.
My boy, he raw pork chop.
My boy, liver.
He meets you that morning. You don't stop. He gonna make you jump in the river.
But hey, hey,
jump in the river.
Hey, hey,
jump in the river.
Hey, hey,
make him jump in the river. Make
chuck him up in the handle in the morning. Chuck him up in the handle.
Chief standing on the avenue,
spy boy turn the corner,
flag give the signal, we meeting again. Big Chief said, do what you wanna. Goodbye,
hey, hey.
Do what you wanna.
Hey, hey.
Do what you wanna.
Hey, hey.
Do what you wanna. Make
Jockey Mop in the handle.
Time on Mardi Gras Day.
Now it's late in the evening.
I took them up, took them down. Now the whole damn gang is leaving. Talk about
hey, hey,
early in the morning.
Hey, hey,
give them the warning.
Hey, hey,
soon in the morning. Make
Jack him up in the handle in the morning. Jack him up in the handle.
Hey, hey,
hey,
shoot Kuna Kuna.
Wow.